Hello everyone and welcome to Raw Talks podcast with me Sarah together with Simba and Mark from Living with the Spirit, and we are here to offer you raw and real conversations about physical, emotional and spiritual transformation. We are specialized in regulating the nervous system, somatic work, energetics, shadow work and deep and unique body work. Our purpose here today is to share our journey and our teachings with conscious leaders just like you and to unlock anything that is holding you back from living a life of freedom and purpose. We are truly grateful and honored to have you with us, and let's explore.
Hello and welcome everyone. We have another podcast for you now from Living with the Spirit with me, Simba, and with Mark. And today we're going to talk about the rite of passage, how we work with sacred masculinity, both online, for ourselves, in our relationships, but also in our retreats that we host here at Living with the Spirit in Chiang Mai, Thailand. So maybe we just kick it off from there.
Yeah, I think the topic of sacred masculinity has come up in a lot of different places. And, you know, people are even reaching out to us and asking us, like, what are we doing about sacred masculinity? What is our understanding and definition of it? We've already had one successful men's retreat here, which has allowed us time to really put some of our thoughts into action and to work with men on a very deep and personal level. So we uniquely understand what men are going through, what they really need in life, and where they need support along the way.
Yeah, I love it. And it really didn't come from an idea. It wasn't, we are going to do something for a specific group of people. It came from a demand. People were asking us, how do you work with this and how do you see it? Because we work with a lot of different modalities and with people in all walks of life. And I really liked this retreat that we did in January, actually, for many reasons. One of the reasons why it's very powerful for me was because my dad actually used to come as one of the participants, right? So I got to see generations of masculinity and talk to him and in the group. And that was really powerful because I had an idea of how I perceived masculinity. And then he had another idea. So it was even one generation to the next, it wasn't the same idea, which was very interesting. So we're going to dive into it, but I just wanted to mention that because it was, yeah, that made a very big effect on me. And that's why I was like, wow, we need to do more of this, because I felt the healing personally, like on a personal level. And I think all of others did too, with the connection we had in the group.
Yeah, it was very evident that the healing process between you and your father wasn't just between the two of you, but it was actually transformative for the whole group. And so just being a part of that process was healing and beautiful to watch it unfold.
Amazing, amazing. All right, so we had a few things to kind of dive into today. And I know you're impeccable with your notes, so why don't you fire it off? Where do we start? Where do we go from here? And we'll take it from there.
Well, first, I think there's like a lot of myths around masculinity, or there's a lot of maybe different ways to look at masculinity that have popped up in society that aren't necessarily the most healthy way to look at masculinity. So like when I was a kid growing up, the healthy view of the masculine was someone who was very strong, a bit cold, you know, off-putting, but also a little bit like rough around the edges. And, you know, that is a portrayal of like a Hollywood masculine, but it's not really the masculine energy that the world needs right now. So there's a lot of myths around what does the actual healthy masculine look like. So what are your some myths that that come from your side, Simba?
I would say one of the main things is probably men don't cry or men don't show themselves vulnerable by expressing emotions. And while it's true that it's important to be in contact with your emotions to the level that you can self-regulate and stay grounded, that you have patience and that you can self-regulate, that you have control over yourself, right? That you're not just, everything is coming out everywhere. I feel there's a big discrepancy between not having emotion, not crying, not doing anything, to the point of actually allowing myself to be natural and to have a natural outlet for emotions. Because if you shove it down, if you shut it down, that energy will come up somewhere else because it wants to come out. It's natural. So I think that's a way of going against nature and saying we shouldn't do that, where it's naturally happening in your body. So that's usually more of a mind system or a belief system that this is the way it should be because it looks strange, or it makes me look in a certain way, or it makes you look in a certain way, or we have friends and Mark is like this, and if Mark is like that, then I'm going to look in a certain way and lose face. So I think it started off probably as a protective mechanism, but it's gone quite astray in terms of those myths from my point of view when I was growing up.
I would say that nowadays it's very obvious to see that there's kind of two different extremes in masculinity. There's the toxic masculinity, which is like broed out and lifting weights and having the, you know, rough edges and, you know, like being very strong with boundaries. And then there's the hyper feminized, overly spiritualized man who's playing the Congo drums in the jungle and, you know, crying and releasing emotionally. And I think that there's kind of like aspects on both of those sides that are useful if you can bring those into balance. So it is good to have control of your health and to be strong and to be useful with your body. It's good to be in touch with your emotions, but it's about, you know, finding that right course where there's stability on that road and you're not going on one too far on one side or the other. And I think that's where the road of sacred masculinity really lies.
Yeah. I mean, you have the balance within you as well, right? The feminine and the masculine. So either side, when you wind up in one extreme, you're still going to be out of balance. Being in balance is what's going to be the best for you, but also for people around you. And I agree with that a lot. That's a lot of what I've been seeing too. It's people are usually, you know, martial arts, CrossFitters, or in the gym, or you're completely on the other side. There seems to be a need for something in between that has a more balanced approach.
Yeah. Well, I think that there are a lot of like influential role models on both sides of this field of masculinity. So we kind of end up with, you know, Hollywood stars or people on Instagram that are really showing off their muscles and how strong they are. And then other people who are, you know, guiding the spiritual influence in the world. So there aren't any like fantastic, awesome role models that are walking that middle path. Or if there are, they're not as well known because they're not doing sensational things. And so it doesn't feed the algorithm or whatever. So we need more healthy masculinity guys like us to, you know, share, open up, and let other men know that it doesn't have to be only one extreme or the other.
That's very true. Did you have any other myth that you have encountered growing up in life that's, I like that way that he came up with the myths, because the myth is really, this is what we believe it is to be. And when you start to explore it, there's just more space, right? Like when you start to debunk myths, there's just so much more space and you go, what else cannot be true? What else is just taught to me as a way of perceiving things?
Yeah, for me, the myth of having to be cool, that had really permeated the majority of my youth. So like motorcycles and, you know, like sunglasses and leather jackets, that stuff's cool. You know, it looks cool from the outside. You know, there's a persona of coolness to it. Once you take all that off, you know, you're left naked and without those. They're basically forms of armor, forms of protection. They're masks that you wear. So they're not really who you are. It's who you're pretending to be. So this idea of having to be the strong, cool guy, I think a lot of men struggle with that in their youth and then realize that it really only takes you so far in life. So yeah, being cool, that's a myth.
Yeah, but it's being liked too. It's being liked, it's being validated. And especially, I mean, early years is usually finding a partner or being perceived as attractive, and people have this attraction to you. People want to be like you. They want to be your friends. People want to be with you romantically, or they appreciate you, or, you know, all of these things that you have attraction, right? And that's really when I look at that coolness, that people like, oh, I want to be like that person. Oh, I want to be with this person. I want to date this person, and so on. But it's not really real affection, like you said. It's not tangible, real, right? Like you build up this bubble around you, around something that you think is real, but it really isn't. And then becomes hard, because at the end, who are you really? If this is who you want to be, and you always thought this is who you should be, and you go in and you embrace it, and then you still don't feel good, now what? What do I do from here? You know, what's the next step after I've done something like this?
I think you start to realize that those things are really just crutches. So like for me, it was the motorcycle, and then, you know, I crashed my motorcycle and I didn't have one anymore. And then so I picked up the electric guitar. You know, so I was like just continually chasing that cool thing. You know, if I don't have one, then I have to have the other. And yeah, I mean, eventually everything falls away. And so what happens when all of the cool things are gone and you don't have any more crutches to land on? Then you're forced to look inside, and that can be scary if you've never done that before.
Yeah, for me, it was a lot about martial arts. I definitely had it as a spiritual practice, but a lot of it also like to embrace the masculinity in it. And I realized that when I had injuries, I had quite a few injuries, when I couldn't exercise for a while, and maybe sometimes the injuries were severe, like surgery even, and I couldn't exercise for a while, maybe muscles decayed a little bit, you look differently in the mirror. And then I realized, wow, I'm building everything that I am, my personality, my confidence, my self-esteem. I'm building everything around this physique.
Yeah.
And that body is going to die, decay at some age. Sure, I can maintain it with health and all these things, but it's not going to be like a peak 20-year-old forever. So I realized getting sick a few times, just flu, you know, you lose muscles and weight and all that. I was like, wow, this cannot be the base for what makes me feel good and that makes me feel strong, because it's just, you know, it's just matter that will change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of these myths that we are overcoming and shifting beliefs and attitudes and perspectives about. So if those aren't what healthy masculinity is about, what is it really about?
That's a very good question. For me, it's really about a path to the heart. And you can look at a path to the heart in many different ways. But if you just want to be pragmatic, the heart has energetic field exactly like your head brain does, right? Like the neurocenter. And the heart can actually feel and send signals to the rest of your body, just like your brain can. It has nerves, like it can send and receive information. It's not just this muscle pumping blood in and out of your body. It's actually connecting to other beings. You feel other beings, other people. So for men, for me, a lot of our time, we're very like logical, very pragmatic, like in the masculine core. So that's a very intellectual point of view, and could be almost cold in that sense, right? Because it's a natural drive to do things like that. So the base of true masculinity for me is to really drop down into the heart. Because then you have the drive, You have the vision, you have the ability to do something, but you anchor it into something that's compassionate too. So you're not just bulldozing your way through life, you can actually connect to other people as well. And then you can really be of use to yourself and to others.
Yeah. I said this on Instagram earlier today, and I'm already getting a lot of comments. And I said that healthy masculinity is 100% about how you treat other people. And so that, you know, like they say, you can judge a person's character for how they treat someone at a restaurant. You know, how are they treating the guests that's sitting across from them? And how are they treating the server? How are they treating the restaurant staff? How are they treating the greeter? How are they treating the other patrons that are around them? So, you know, a lot can be said about a person based on how they treat other people. And I'm not talking about it from a people-pleasing aspect that you should always make everyone happy or you should always, you know, do the right thing. But there's really an integrity that you have inside of your heart, like you mentioned, connecting to the heart space, where you just have a naturally uprising ability to be compassionate, to have humility, to have a high level of integrity, to be honest, and to just, like, you know, be helpful, truly helpful. And not just because you want someone to like you or because you want some form of validation, but just an uprising from your heart that is compassionate and helpful towards others.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, definitely how you treat others is ultimately a projection or a result of where you're coming from within yourself. Because like you were saying with that cool dude, that stereotype of cool dude, or maybe rude or arrogant, or like you said, toxic, you know, like dates a lot of people, but don't make any real emotional connections, just looking out for themselves in that sense. It might also be a protection because I'm afraid to connect to what's really there and afraid to show that vulnerable side. So it's like a pushing everyone away. And you can definitely see that in how you treat others, especially how you treat others that maybe you won't necessarily gain anything by treating them in a certain way, right? If I treat someone that could give me a favor, if I treat a boss in a way or someone that's higher than me in the hierarchy, if we look at that, right? If I believe there's a hierarchy and I treat someone that could give me an advantage to move forward in life in a certain way, but someone that cannot do it, how I treat them, that's definitely, I would say, a big factor for where you're coming from and how you perceive things. Like you were saying, how do you treat a greeter? How do you treat a waiter? How do you treat people that you might see as we are at different levels in life? If you're coming from that mindset, that will definitely be evidence of what's going on inside of you and how you perceive people and their worth.
Yeah. And what we've learned through our work in the sacred masculine field is that the feminine has a super powered radar for this ability. And so the feminine can sniff this ability miles and miles away, whether the man is in his heart space. And she gets this feeling where she knows if that's not true. She knows if it's a fake. She knows if it's a mask. She knows if there's something sneaky behind it. So it has to be absolutely 100% genuine in order for it to be real.
Definitely. And I mean, that's the same for a man too. A man feels if a woman is open towards him or not, right? Like you can feel it straight away, right? You can tell yourself things, but when you really connect to yourself, you can feel it straight away. Is this person receptive of me or not? So it creates this traction, I would say, when you look at the polarities, right? Like plus minus poles from magnetism, from physics. And talking about the polarities, it's really about energetics, that you are in your polarity, your energetical male core type or feminine core type. So if you have the opposites, there will be an attraction, definitely, right? But if you fake that you're in a polarity and you don't really embrace it, That's what I feel what you were saying. The woman, we feel straight away, wow, this is not a real polarity. This is something else. And that will repel her away. So you might actually think you're doing something to get something, But since it's not genuine, the person will feel it and many times most likely reject you, or they might make a connection with you, but it's not as deep as it really can be if you're coming from who you truly are.
Yeah. So becoming who you truly are, I think that's a statement that has been coming up over and over again for me through different topics in our podcast. And so I think that, you know, it came out here again today. So it's got to be the real magic under all of the work that we do is, you know, really looking inside and asking questions and clearing away stress and trauma and clearing away anything that's holding you back from really becoming who you are, who you're meant to be, who you really are underneath all of these fears and shields of protection and trying to be cool and wanting people to like you. You remove all of that and who's left? That's what we want to know. That's what we're here to find out.
For sure, for sure. And I mean, the way we work with sacred masculinity in this sense, or polarities, because it's not just with men, it's with women too, but we're talking about men now. It's through a rite of passage. And I feel that's really what this retreat was a rite of passage of going through certain practices together with other men in a group, being vocal, being received, sometimes being challenged, always with compassion and love and consent, but being challenged as well and being held accountable for commitments. And I think that rite of passage is something that exists in some cultures, but it has been lost in many cultures because everything is so accessible, or maybe one person didn't teach it to their son and then they didn't teach it to their son. So many times there's not that natural rite of passage from boy to teenager to what you would call a man, that you step into that transition, because it is a transition going from a boy to a teenager to a man. There is responsibilities. There is a lot of expectations from society towards you and your partners and so on. And if you're not taught that, or if you've never seen that, or have never got any practical advices, right? Someone tells you really what's going on, or better yet, shows you what's going on, and that you don't continuously have a community that mirrors you in that and that keeps you accountability, then it's very easy to start to wear your way through life. And I talk a little bit here and I do a little bit there and so on. And then we become not firm, not connected, and we kind of lose that, I don't like to say sharpness, but accountability, that you're accountable, you're dependable, you honor your word, you do what you say, and you truly believe in what you say. Your word really matters for yourself and for others. So that rite of passage, I feel, is definitely maybe coming back in some cultures. I see it in sports. I see it in certain cultures and society, but it's definitely been lost in many parts of today's society.
Yeah, as you know, as in my childhood, I have never really experienced a rite of passage, and other rites of passage that I experienced in other small circles were toxic. And so I think, you know, having a healthy rite of passage surrounded by supportive people who have been on the same journey, who are sharing that journey with you, feeling that strong connection, that open heart. You know, during the men's retreats, I felt that like all of us came together so much so that we were hugging each other after every fire ceremony. And it just felt very natural, it felt very supported, and it felt very authentic.
Very real, yeah, very authentic. And it allows you to open up more, and it allows you to see the things about yourself in a loving way. It's calling you to be a better version of yourself, not to please others, but for progression, spiritual, emotional, physical. It's calling you to progress, to evolve for yourself and for others. Because when you progress, when you evolve, you will bring your community, your family, and the people around you forward, because that's how we look at it. You become a conscious leader when you start to master yourself, whether you're a man or a woman. But what does it mean to lead? Well, it means that maybe you go first. You are the one that starts. It doesn't mean like, I'm going to tell you, Mark, you're going to do what I say because I am the boss. No, you lead by example, and then others will be inspired, and you raise the standard for everyone around you. But you need to raise the standard for yourself and create a community that compels you or invites you to raise your standard up too. So there's progression that we're moving towards a direction, because if there's not a progression in that sense, if there's not an evolution, then we usually start to go in towards the other direction.
Yeah, so the way that you and I work with the masculine energy and the way that we have supported men on the men's retreat is by doing some of the same modalities that we normally offer on retreats, like breath work, like the ice bath, sword fighting, going to the pond, TRE. These are all the modalities that we continue to do with the men, but there is a higher level of connection to why we're doing it. All of the modalities that we do are connected to helping men to reestablish their true sense of purpose. Whether they need to refine their purpose, or they're opening a new chapter in their life and they have to basically come up with a new purpose, or maybe they never really had a purpose that they felt aligned with, coming to the retreat and really spending time thinking about, what am I doing with my life? What am I going to do with the years ahead of me? What can I do right now to build that purpose that's going to propel and drive me forward? So everything is centered around helping men rediscover or get back in touch with that true sense of purpose.
Yes. And once you've done it and been in an environment, immersed in it for 3 weeks to 21 days, your body has started to develop healthy habits. And there is a new reference point in your brain, in your nervous system, in your heart, for how life can look like, how you can show up in the world. And not only that, how other men can gracefully accept you and even cheer you on as this person, as this new true core that you are, you know. And once you have that model, once you have that experience, you can go out and create it just by being yourself. You don't have to go leave here and do a whole retreat center and what we did. No, you go out and be you, and that will inspire others to do journeys like this as well for themselves in whatever rite of passage that is. For someone who might be quitting the job, for someone who might be starting to exercise, it's just a passage to do something, to move on. We inspire each other to grow, to evolve.
Yeah. And there's something really special about just a group of men who are all supporting each other. You know, whether we're crying or laughing or sitting around the fire or all doing breath work, or we're all going into the ice bath together, this sense of camaraderie starts to just naturally come up between and amongst each other. And I mean, a lot of us have never really experienced that level of support from other men. And maybe we've experienced a lot of the other side where men were, belittling us or always making fun of us or something. So having that supportive container and then opening your heart again towards other men, that is a massive game changer.
It is. You really change and clear generations of trauma. And even forward, even if you don't have kids, the way you show up in the world will inspire other people to be in a certain way. And that is really powerful. And that is definitely the essence of sacred masculinity for me, to be in your heart, but to show up as a conscious leader by being true to yourself. And that doesn't mean you have to be confrontative and like go against everything you don't like, but it means you're true to your core and that you will stand for that, and you can argue for that, and you can defend yourself for that. You can, it's not just an ideal, it's who you are.
Yeah. And the retreat gives you an opportunity to reflect on who you are, who you want to be. And we also help people work through any beliefs or any blockages or any things that holding you back from becoming what you truly want to be. So we're here to guide and support you so that you can launch off and propel into the future to be the healthy masculine version of yourself that you always wanted to be, with a strong sense of determination and purpose to do whatever you want in a compassionate way that also inspires other people. So if that sounds like something you want to do, we've got some opportunities for you. We had a very successful men's retreat in January, so we're going to offer another retreat in May. And we're not stopping there. We will offer some other retreats in the future, so stay tuned for the announcement of those. But Simba and I are also going to be putting together a Sacred Masculinity Masterclass. What can we expect from that class, Simba?
And expect to meet equal-minded men, that we come together in a group. Will be a little bit of hot seat coaching from both me and Mark. And just opportunity to be around men and discuss, share, but not overshare and not like overanalyze, actually practically going in and feeling, where does this reside in my body? What can I work with to come deeper into my core and feel more of this masculinity, feel more of my true purpose, who I really am, not who I think I am. So you will connect to your body, connect to your masculinity, and be witnessed by other men doing so in a positive, uplifting way. So it will be like a mini taster of the retreat, that you get a sample for what it could be like when you're here and what is possible for you when you should start to walk a path of coming home, building on your core.
Yeah, so whether you're thinking about coming to a retreat or not, we invite you to join the Sacred Masculinity Masterclass. And we will send out details soon about how to attend and where to attend. We look forward to having you there. But we've also got some other opportunities up our sleeves. For some time now, I've been hosting a session called Ego Dismantling. And all men know that the ego can be a stumbling block on your path to freedom and success. And so I've devised a way to really work with that using EFT, or emotional freedom techniques, which is scientifically backed through Chinese medicine and other ways, a way to work with your body's nervous system and the subconscious mind to reprogram things so that we can get rid of old beliefs and build in new positive beliefs. But I will have a course soon that you can join, both live or recorded versions. And we are sprucing it up a little bit and giving it a new title called Slicing Through the Veil of the Ego. And I think Sarah and I will do that session together. And we will also be kind of talking a little bit about the polarities. So since it's me and her, we've got the masculine and the feminine, looking at things from both sides of the picture, and then using EFT as the main framework for how to work with any of the limiting beliefs about the ego along the way. So stay tuned for updates about that course as it becomes available.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Yeah, I feel this has been a great chat, great conversation. And as Mark said, if you have any questions, any of what we mentioned today, or any questions at all around this, don't hesitate. Feel free to reach out. Even if it's a lengthy question, we might just do a social media video and explain that topic. So if you have a question, you feed us. Other people most likely have the same question. We can just do a social media post on it and you will get your answer in one way or another. So don't hold back. If you have questions or inquiries, just reach out and we're more than happy to support you in any way we can.
Yeah, thanks. And I look forward to seeing y'all soon.
See you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in. And please send us a DM for any questions, inquiries, or consultations. Please follow us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. And please visit our website, livingwiththespirit.com, to read more about us and what we do. And remember, freedom and purpose is your birthright. Lots of love.